Good morning. If you've been following our walk with Jesus through the Gospel of Luke, you'll remember that we started with Jesus just after the baptism, after his baptism, with the Messiah's manifesto 13 weeks ago. And later, having walked with Jesus and hopefully learned from him and deepened our relationship with him, we'll also be would have been to the cross with him and experienced the joy of his resurrection. And now we're at the departure gate, the ascension. Okay, let's start by unpacking the word ascension. If, like me, you're not big on Bible talk, you'd either have no idea what the word really means or very little idea of what it means. So, ascension means the action of raising to an important position or higher level. In Christian terms, the bodily raising of Jesus into heaven on the 40th day after his resurrection. So in short, rising Jesus up into heaven. Luke's gospel ends with an account of the ascension of Jesus. And also, as you know, I'm sure, Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And Acts brings a similar account. And it's worth noting that Luke sees the crucifixion, death and resurrection and ascension are so important that he mentions them again to the same friend, to Philopolis, in his letter in the beginning of Acts. But with added emphasis on the coming of the Holy Spirit, God's life force in us. This is just to ensure that Philopolis gets the message. Luke stresses here in Acts is on the obvious, the tangible nature of this event. He, Jesus, was taken up before their very eyes. This wasn't a dream or a vision. They weren't asleep. Their eyes weren't closed. As their eyes were glued to him, he began to ascend a little, and then quite quickly into a cloud of glory covered him and hid him and his reunion with the Father and the Spirit. Luke makes the functionality of the physical ascent of our Lord transparently clear. He says they were looking intently up into the sky. The ascension was something that could have been filmed. It was an historic event, as was the virgin birth, or Jesus' baptism, or his walking on water, or his raising Lazarus from the dead, or his work on the cross, and his resurrection appearances. Our reading opened in verse 50 with, "When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them." Jesus had been leading his band of followers, his disciples, for 3 years. Now he retraces his steps, the path he trod on Palm Sunday, and leads them out of the city of Jerusalem, down the Kingdom Valley, and to the Mount of Olives, to the location near Bethany. They had often been to Bethany to Jesus' friends, Lazarus, Martha and Mary, who lived there, but now they come for a different purpose. Jesus says a few words, reminding them to stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Then he lifts up his hands and blesses them, much like a priest would bless the people. And that is what Jesus is. He's our great high priest. Blessed is our passage. Blessed is in our passage in Greek is a verb. To ask for or bestow a special favour, especially of calling down God's wonderful power. We also see blessings by other leaders in Scripture, Jacob in Genesis 49, and Moses also over the 12 tribes. And now Jesus blesses the New Testament equivalent of the 12 tribes, the 12 apostles and their followers. Notice how Jesus' hands are used in this blessing. When Jesus heals the sick, certainly an act of blessing. He often lays his hands upon a person. When little children come to him, he takes them in his arms. And we read in Mark 10, verse 16, he took children into his arms. He placed his hands on them and blessed them. But when he blesses this group of people, he lifts his hands as if to encompass them and offer a blessing to all. I would love to know the words that Jesus used in that blessing that he offered on this occasion. Our reading continues with verse 51. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. While Jesus was blessing them, two other actions were taking place. He left them to move from, to go, to separate, and was taken up to go from a lower place to a higher place. Something caught my interest the other day while studying this passage. Jesus was taken up, which means that this happened to Jesus. He doesn't initiate it. And the action was happening so that it may be taken as Jesus was being taken into heaven. A minor point, yes, but interesting. Interesting because we have absolutely no clue what this was really like. This is one of those unrepeatable passages that can't be studied by comparing it to other examples. The only thing in the Bible remotely close to this is the ascension of Elijah in a whirlwind and a chariot of fire, which we can read about in 2 Kings. But there is no whirlwind here. There is no chariot of fire. Why did Jesus rise up to heaven? Heaven is another sphere, another dimension from this earthly physical dimension that we live in. While Jesus' resurrection body had the ability to adapt to the physical demands of earth, it was not limited to this earth. It could adapt to the spiritual dimension as well, as we can read what the Apostle Paul noted in 1 Corinthians. While many passages allude to the ascension, only two other passages attempt to describe it. The first is in the longer ending of Mark, where it says, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and set at the right hand of God. However, this does not occur in the earlier texts and is probably a later addition. Other references is from Luke's pen in Acts 1, as we have heard read. As Jesus ascends from earth into heaven, he is ascending directly into the presence of the Almighty Father. As the Son of Man, he appears before God the Father to receive an unshakable kingdom, a reinstatement of his former glory, of which he had voluntarily emptied himself. And he is now fully restored. From man's point of view, the ascension is the phenomenon of a man rising into the sky. From the Bible's point of view, the ascension is the Son of Man, Jesus, returning home to great power and glory. As the Apostle Creed puts it, the third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. And we read in verse 52 and 53, then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Can you imagine being one of those disciples, witnessing this? You are in the presence of the resurrected Jesus, receiving his last command, wait in Jerusalem, and his last blessing. And as his hands are raised in that final blessing, he ascends until the clouds hide him from sight. But I'm sure we'd all be stunned. But notice the four ways that the disciples react to the ascension in this verse. Then they worshipped him. You may not have noticed, but it's the first time in Luke's gospel that Jesus is worshipped. Though doubting Thomas worshipped in John's gospel with the words, "My Lord, my God." Worshipped in our passage in the Greek verb to express an attitude or gesture of one's complete dependence on or submission to a higher authority. To fall down and worship, to do homage, to prostrate oneself to. And the other thing that we may have noticed was it was with great joy. The disciples also responded with great joy. Rather than sadness at Jesus' departing, they were overcome with excitement. And the third thing was that they stayed continually at the temple praising God. The disciples' third reaction that Luke mentioned is praise in the temple. Praising is the same Greek verb to speak well of, to praise, to exalt. So they were at the temple telling everyone of what Jesus had been resurrected and that he had risen and had been taken into heaven. And the fourth was obedience. Finally, the disciples responded by remaining in Jerusalem during the day in the temple courts. And then about a week or so later, the Holy Spirit is poured out at Pentecost. Their obedient waiting is rewarded with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of Luke closes with joy, victory, and anticipation. Jesus ascended into heaven to be glorified. Now, some may recall Jesus' prophecy, and Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." And also in Matthew 24, "At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all nations on earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on clouds in the sky with power and great glory." Jesus ascended in the clouds is a pointer to the forthcoming return. So, in conclusion, what lessons can we and the disciples learn? I may suggest three. While Jesus' physical presence is gone, his blessing upon his followers remains. Two, they responded in worship, great joy, obedience, and praise, and so should we. And three, Jesus' disappearance into the crowds, but the Bible declares his return will happen in the same way. So we have traced Jesus' life and ministry from the beginning up until its conclusion. Jesus is alive. He ascends on high and is seated in glory at the right hand of the Father. And now his followers await with the Spirit, with joy and expectation. And Jesus' ministry of setting the captives free and preaching good news to the poor is about to be released on a needy and hungry world. And until he comes, we must continue this ministry, the ministry that Jesus began. We should look to take others the gospel and share the good news of Jesus, and that is that God loves us all. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, put within my heart afresh that joy and excitement in you. That joyful heart that is my possession as your follower. And give me the firmness and boldness to spread that joy, your word and your love, until you come again. In your holy name I pray. Amen.